Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want to go tonight to 1 John chapter 5, Amen. And we will begin there. And we're just in a, like I said, we started a series, well, actually just one teaching so far, this is number two, and on the subject of answered prayer, because we don't want to just pray, we want to get our prayers answered, and so there's some things that, you know, that you need to know if that's going to be the case. You can't just, you know, shoot a shot out there and hope that something hits. You have to know what you're doing by the Word. You know, now when you're a babe, God will just, you know, He overlooks a lot of things, just like you do as a parent. You know, you overlook a lot of things. I mean, you give your one-year-old a crayon and turn them loose in the room, you know, I mean, the walls liable to get marked on. And, you know, you just realize that's probably going to happen. It was your fault for giving them the crayon. But as you get older, you know, you expect more out of them, right? You expect them to grow up. You got to teach them responsibility. You know, that's one of the things that's a real issue, and it has been for not just in our time right now, but it has been for a number of decades now, is that parents need to teach their kids responsibility. You know, you mess it up, you fix it. You know, we're not bailing you out every time because mommy and daddy ain't going to be around there all the time. So you mess it up, you fix it. You know, you want to eat, you work, and I like what Ingolf said. And the more you eat, the more you work, the more you should be able to eat, right? Okay. I don't know if that's a wise plan, but anyway, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You teach responsibility. You know, you gotta grow up here and be responsible and so forth. You know, my dad quit making my car payments when I got a car. And my insurance payments. So that means he never did start, okay? You want a car? Buy the car. Now, he did loan me the money for my first car. I got to be honest. It was $150, so. you go to a car lot and they got the cars all lined up on the street. Mine wasn't out there. It was behind the building. Yeah. Hey, man, but it was all rusted, you know, and all that. But Dad took it. And, you know, he's older now. He's 87 now, but in his younger days, he could do a lot of things. He was pretty talented. And so he took that thing and put it in the garage and filled the hose, bonded the hose, put Bondo in the hose, you know, and painted it for me. And it came out looking nice, you know, when he got done with it, you know, and all. So, you know, it turned out pretty good. It was good inside. It just was eaten up outside, you know. But he fixed that for me, you know. So that $150 car turned out to be pretty decent, really. Amen. You know, and so, but, you know, and so I had to pay him back. And, you know, I still owe him $60 on it, but I was going down a snow-covered road. This was the 1970s when we had those blizzards. Yeah, yeah. Hey, man, it was the first time I ever got caught in a really white out, you know, in that time frame. And, man, it's freaky when you're going down the road and you can't see anything but white. And all you can do is hit the brakes and hope for the best. You know, but some lady hit me and totaled it out, and I still owed him $60 from somewhere or another. I stopped making my car payments. He couldn't repossess it. There wasn't nothing to repossess. It was all banged up, beat up. But anyway, I still owe him that $60, but, you know, maybe someday I'll give it to him. I don't know. Probably not. But anyway. Amen. All right, 1 John, I was just simply saying this, that as we grow older in God, you know, God expects us to be more on target with our prayer life, you know, not just throw something out there and hope something sticks. You know, when you're a babe, you know, when you have a little baby, when it cries, you go check on it. You know, as it gets older, you just say, shut up. You know, it's like a friend of mine told me one time. He said, you know, my wife's shaking. I said something I shouldn't have said there. My wife shook her head, no. Okay. Maybe you don't say shut up, but you say hush. You know what what hush means in Greek? Shut up. Anyway, I have a friend, you know, and he said, you know, I noticed in my church, you know, and he said, I noticed that when people have their first baby, he said, they're just really iffy about taking it to the nursery, you know, when it gets nursery age time, you know. He said, but I noticed after they've had three, he said, they're there 15 minutes early saying, hey, take these kids. He said, I notice that changes, you know. They find out they don't break so easy.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. But as we get older, you know, in God, you know, it's kind of like parallel with the natural, is that God begins to expect more out of us. You know, what he used to would answer, he might not, you know, he might not hear that now because it's not accurate. It's not scriptural. It's not, that's not really the way I want to say it, but it's not lined up with his principles. Amen.
Amen.
So if we're going to grow in our prayer life, then we have to grow in the Word of God. We have to grow in understanding how prayer operates. There's rules to prayer.
Amen.
Amen. There's just like there's rules to anything. There's rules to prayer, and you have to, you know, it's kind of like when you know your grandkids or your kids, you know, they're playing sports. They get away with a lot of things as they get older. They can't do that any longer. Mm-hmm. You got to correct that because, you know, I remember when Noah was just first playing, and he was playing baseball. He's probably, he wasn't very old. He was 4 or 5 years old, and he started playing baseball, you know. And I remember one time we was at a game, you know, and I'm going to get something to drink, you know, or something, and Jeremy is too, and here comes Noah running wanting a cheeseburger. And it's during the game. I mean, Jeremy had to let him know this is not the way this works. You get back in that game. This ain't cheeseburger time, buddy. This is baseball time. How many know if you're in the big leagues and you do that, you're probably in trouble? Where's the third baseman? Oh, he went to concession stand.
Amen.
See, as you grow, how many know God's going to expect more out of you, right? I mean, and that's the way it is with prayer. And you say, I'm just going to stay a baby then. No, you know, he knows if you're just being a carnal baby, and he knows if you're a really genuine, just a young baby.
Right.
Amen. You know, as a pastor, I've just watched this over years. It's always so fun to pray for the newborns in church. You know, Pastor, I got this wrong. I got a boo-boo. Pray for me. And they always get healed. They always get delivered.
Amen.
Amen. But as they get a little older, you know, then they think, well, Pastor doesn't have it any longer. or God doesn't love me any longer. No, he's expecting you to grow up a little bit and use your own faith. Amen. And deal with your own issues.
Amen.
And do your own paperwork.
Amen.
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 You know, I don't know about you, but it's just a good thing that kids grow up and learn to do some of those things. Amen.
Yeah.
And so God expects us to grow. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is this. We're going to talk about, if I had to title the message, and since I'm preaching, I will. We're going to call this word-based. Everybody say word-based.
Word-based.
Now, what does that mean? Well, our prayers need to be based on the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, I want to read to you, if you will, go with me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14.
Right.
Hallelujah. It says, this is the confidence, or we could say the faith, that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, what would His will be?
His word.
It'd be the Word, right? This is the, you ever read in the Bible? It calls it the New Testament, the Old Testament. The Testament means the will. This is the will of God. So you could say that. You're not taking anything away from what's being said here. It's just helping you think about it in a different light. So if we ask anything according to His will or His word, He hears us. So what if we ask and it's not according to His word? Well, the inference is He doesn't hear us. It doesn't get an attention in heaven. It has to be according to His word, or, you know, there's another realm that's beyond what we see. It's called the spirit realm. We have to know that, see. You know, understand that a lot of people just, not you, but a lot of people just live by what they see. If they can't see it, feel it, taste it, hear it, smell it, it doesn't exist. But there's a world out there that's way beyond that, that's superior than that. Amen?
Amen.
And actually created this world. You know, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there are things that are not seen. Amen.
Amen.
And the worlds were made, you know, I think it's Hebrews what talks about that, that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. All right, so there's a realm out there that doesn't appear, but it's actually more real than our realm. You understand? This realm is going to, it created our world. It's God's world. It's called the spirit world. And so there's rules, there's laws, there's things that work in that realm that if we don't work them, then we don't see things manifest in this realm. Is that making sense to you? All right, now one of the things is if he's going to hear us, it has to be according to his will. Right? I mean, if I pray for something, folks, and it's just totally out of line with God's word, he's not even going to hear that.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You know, so that's something he's not going to hear. Now, verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, I mean, you got to know that he hears you, right? If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Now, that is such, that's such a rich scripture. I mean, if this is true, then anything that's God's will that we ask for, he will give it to us. Amen. Now, we are going to talk, next time we talk about this, we are going to talk a little bit about we're going to talk about faith, you know, how faith has something to do with our answered prayer, see. Because you have to believe you've received it for you to have it, all right? But we have to start out with the fact that we need to base our prayer life on the Word of God. Right. Now I want to talk to you about something here tonight, and it's not real deep, but it really, it still, even as you get older in Christ, you still have to deal with this. And that is that we got to learn to base our prayer life on the Word and not on our feelings. Has anybody ever had prayer time and you just felt the presence of God? Don't you just love that? I mean, you come out of there, you just feel invigorated and you feel full of life and you feel like God heard me. Amen. I used to, you know, I grew up spiritually speaking around old Pentecost people, you know, and they had a lot of good things, and they had some bad habits. Can we just be honest about it? Some of their bad habits is a lot of times they just went by what they felt. Oh, I feel God. I'm telling you, he's here tonight. Hallelujah. How many know that that's good if that's really God? I love that. But did you know when I don't feel like he's here, he's still here because he's not a liar. And he said he is. Amen. See, I mean, you don't expect your kids just to obey you when they feel like it. Well, I just don't feel it today, Mom. I don't feel it today, Dad. Well, you're going to feel something here in a minute. We're going to help you feel something. Amen. Are you with me now? You know, like I heard one preacher say, he said he told his daughter to clean up her room. And she said, that's not my thought. She cast that thought down. I think he told her something like, you're going to feel something here in a minute. And you, how many know God's the same way? He doesn't want us just living by what we feel. You ever had days that you didn't feel too righteous? You ever had days you didn't feel too saved? You ever had days you didn't feel too spiritual? Sure, man. I'm telling you what, you know, one of the worst things that happen as a pastor is you get an emergency call and you feel about as carnal as a duck. But did you know it's not about that?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
It's about what God said and you having faith in his word, whether you feel like it or not. Amen.
Amen.
I've told you this story before, but it really fits in here really good. It's been many, many, many years ago, back in the 80s. We had a guest speaker at Revival Center on Wednesday night. We had him, I'd asked him to come, and he came and preached for us. I believe I'm the one that asked him to come. And he came and preached for us, and after the service, he said, you know, he said, I, We had a wonderful service. I mean, the glory fell. I mean, it was marvelous. And he said, after the service, he said, you know what? He said, I didn't think anything had happened tonight. And, well, really? Yeah. He said, you know, he said, me and my wife got in a fight before I came. He said, I was so mad walking out the door, he said, I kicked the dog. He said, so I wasn't expecting much to happen, and the glory fell. Well, have you know the recipe for getting the glory is not getting in a fight with your wife and kicking the dog.
That's right.
Right? You know, that's not good, right? But here's what happened was God was just showing him that, look, this isn't about you. This is about me. This isn't about you being perfect. Now, you need to live the word, but that isn't what this is about. This is about me and faith in me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And what I can do.
Come on.
Hallelujah. How many know he can do a whole lot more than we can do? And so, you know, you got to base your faith and your prayer life on the Word of God, not on how you feel. You know, if you go in there and you have one of those, you know, those times in prayer where you just feel the anointing, you sense the glory. Well, you know what? Guess what? Thank God for that. Enjoy that. I love that. I'll take it every time if I could have it. But there's been times I've been in there where it just felt like, you know, God was like 1 zillion miles away. And it was dry. But, you know, I've just learned that there are times when that happens, there may be more being done then than there is any other time, because I'm going to have to really use my faith to believe that something's happening.
Amen.
The other time, I'm using my feelings more than my faith sometimes. Are you with me now? You're like, I feel it, so I know God's moving. Well, that's great, but it does and that's awesome, and I'll take all of that I can get, but that doesn't mean anything. The Word of God is what's our final basis on whether God heard us or not. It's what I prayed about according to His will.
Amen.
If it's according to His will, then He heard me. It didn't say, now, if you feel like I heard you, I heard you. No, it just said, if it's according to His will. Amen? So the Word, not feelings, guarantees our prayers answered. Amen? See, the Word of God builds confidence into your prayer life. You know, the Bible says, the psalmist said, he said, the entrance of His Word gives light. What's that? It gives illumination. See, we don't always, you know, a lot of people, they just need some illumination to their prayer life. What do I mean by illumination? Well, you know, people, have you ever had people that, you know, everything that they pray about, that they say, if it be thy will. Well, you know what? God wants us to find out what His will is. And don't even bother to ask Him if it's not His will.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. See, and let me just talk about this while we're here. Did you know the prayer of agreement means that we're both in agreement on the outcome?
Right.
You have people say, Pastor, agree with me. But it's this, you know, we use that religiously sometimes. Well, just agree with me in prayer. Well, yeah, but we need to agree on the outcome. Jesus said, if any two of you on earth ask anything, anything that they touch or ask in agreement, it'll be done by the Father. So we have to be in agreement on what we're asking for.
Amen.
Amen. You know, like I think it was Brother Hagin one time talking about a lady that came to him, and she asked for him to agree with her on prayer, and the thing that they prayed about didn't come to pass. And she told Brother Hagin about it, and then she said, "I didn't much think it would anyway." Well, that wasn't the prayer of agreement, right? I mean, I didn't much think it. Well, you weren't agreeing, see? I mean, you know, that's bless your heart, but you weren't agreeing. You got to agree, amen? You got to agree that God's going to do it, amen, on the outcome, amen? So we're just going to look at some things here tonight as we have time here. I want you to go with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. We were over there Sunday morning. I'm going to go back to the 4th chapter of Mark because there's a verse there that I want to read. We're just talking about how your prayers need to be word-based. They need to be word-based. You need to go spend some time and find out what the Word has to say about it. Amen? You know, just like if you were going to go see the mayor of the city and you were going to ask him about something, you know, you need to do a little bit of study about what you're going in there. Amen?
Amen.
You don't want to just walk in there and not know what you're talking about. You want to do a little bit of study and know what you're talking about. Amen? And so when you go to God, it blesses God to know you've spent some time to find out what He said. Amen. Now, here in Mark chapter 4, verse 20, it says this. It says, and these are they which are on which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. And notice this. This is the part I want to talk about. They bring forth fruit. How many want to bring forth fruit in your prayer life?
Amen.
It says some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So 30, 60, 100. Now, years ago, people used to teach that, you know, God decided whether you were going to get 30 or 60 or 100. But that's not true. God wants you to have 100. We decide whether it's going to be 30, 60, or 100. Now, concerning prayer life, how would we decide that? Well, if we based our prayers and believed according to God's word, 30%, we'd get 30-fold. 60%, we'd get 60. 100, we'd get 100. Are you with me now? Now, see, now let me help you with something, understand something. You know, you say, well, I prayed with so-and-so, and I prayed this, and it didn't happen. Well, let me help you here. Here's what I learned a long time ago. I learned a long time ago not to be moved by somebody who didn't get healed, who didn't get their prayer answered, or something that didn't come to pass. I learned a long time ago. Here's why. Because I've said a long time ago, let God be true and everything else a lie. Now, if you don't settle that, you can get moved. You say, well, somebody submitted a prayer request and I prayed and they died. Well, all right. You don't know what happened on their end. Your responsibility is to use your faith as much as you possibly can. Are you with me now? And the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. I always remember years ago, you know, I don't mean to just talk about Brother Hagin all the time, but I, you know, I grew up on him spiritually. But, you know, I remember a long time ago, his sister died, you know, of cancer. And it always bothered him that he couldn't pray the prayer of faith for her and her get healed. Well, he had a supernatural experience one time, and he was shown supernaturally. Actually, he saw her in heaven supernaturally. You know, there are things called visions and dreams and divine appearances. Amen. I mean, you know, I don't believe everybody says they have them, but I do believe they happen. Amen. You know, and if they're scriptural according to the Word of God and, you know, what's said and done is right, you know, because people think, well, you know, all this passed away, with, you know, with the last apostle. Well, yeah, let me tell you something. The first apostle is still alive. His name's Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And so, you know, so in this supernatural experience Brother Hagin had, his sister said to him, said, don't be, I don't remember what she said exactly, but don't be down, don't be disappointed because I couldn't get healed. She said there were reasons. He said she didn't tell me the reasons. It wasn't any of his business. That's between her and the Lord, right? Are you with me now?
Amen.
So, you know, I mean, I pray for people and they get healed. I pray for people and they die. I keep praying for people.
Amen.
Brother Hagin said one time he was praying and a guy died in his prayer line. He said, we just stretched him out on the altar and kept praying for people.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, don't let that stop us. That'd kill most people.
Yeah, amen.
That'd kill their anointing, kill their service. Oh, you just ruined my service by dying. No, we'll stretch you out. We'll deal with you later. You got to get to where you know, there is a place in God, you know, well, it's Deuteronomy. It talks about this. The secret things belong to the Lord, but those which are revealed belong to us that we may do them. So there are some things that we don't know. You know, we don't know the reasons why, but we just keep walking in faith. Does that help you?
Yeah.
We just keep walking in faith, you know. Have you ever prayed for something, Pastor, didn't come to pass? Yeah, I have, but it doesn't stop me. I just keep going. I just figured, you know, some way or another, I can look in the mirror and find the problem. When I look in the mirror, I don't see God, I see me. Amen. So I know, you know, I don't know what I did, I don't know. And sometimes the Lord will tell you, you know, sometimes he'll let you know and all. But you know, I just keep going. I know this, God's word, that God said if I base it on his word, he hears me and he'll answer it. So sometimes maybe I messed it up. Maybe I didn't find out what the word said about it. Amen. You know, go take some time and find out what the Bible says about what you're praying about. If you don't already know, go find out about it. And even if you do know, go build your faith up in that area. Go find out what the Word says. and just build yourself up there. Hallelujah. Before you come in, and come in with some faith about you. Amen. We'll talk about that more next time. But I want you to see this. See, verse 20, he talked about how they'd be 30, 60, and some 100. Well, that's up to us, you know, just how much effort we want to put into it, our faith we want to put into it, whether it's 30, 60, or 100. You know, we got to fight off doubt and all those other things. And if we want to operate in 100-fold, we can. Amen. Now, see, one of the things you got to understand, the Word's the secret to our success. Remember, Joshua, we've heard the scripture over the years, but we need to really pay attention to it. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God told Joshua, he said, this book of the law is not to depart out of your mouth, but you're to meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Well, how many want good success? Everybody wants to be prosperous, right?
Amen.
Everybody wants good success. But see, the thing of it is God told Joshua how to do it. He said it's connected to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. See, American idea of success and God's idea of success are two different ideas. You know, if we think about, you know, some of the goofiest, I'm trying to be nice about this, but really, let me try to be nicer about this. Let's see here. How can I say this in a nicer way? Some of the most deceived people on the planet are some of the most, that the world thinks are some of the most prosperous and blessed and successful. And they're just deceived as can be. Every time they open their mouth, it's foolishness that comes out.
Yeah.
See, God said good success. There's success, but then there's good success. Good success is God's success. Amen? How many want God's success? That's good success. You know, just because you got a lot of money doesn't mean you're successful. Or just because your name's well known doesn't mean you're successful. How many know who Jesse James is? Well, his name's well known. He wasn't too successful. So, you know, there's just things that we need to understand from God's perspective. Now let's go to John's gospel, John chapter 15. You getting anything tonight?
Amen.
All right, I got just a couple more things or a couple more scriptures. John 15. Let's go there. John 15. So our prayers have to be word-based. They have to be based on the Word of God. We have to, you know, when Jesus said, what things shall you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. He said a lot of things about prayer. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Well, you bring it all together and put it all together. And, you know, we read the scripture there in 1 John. If you ask anything according to his will, you know he hears you. And how do we know he hears us? Because it's according to his will, not because we felt like it. Amen. And now, you know, I've been at this. I've been in thousands of services. Been doing this since, started preaching in 1982. So I don't know how many years that was. What's that, 38 years? Almost heading for 38 years. So in all that time, you know, I mean, I've had services where the glory of God came in. I've had services where I wanted to go home and I was preaching. I've had times, no, I'm not kidding you. I've had times where I preached and I thought, oh, thank God that's over with. I wore that sermon out first time I preached it. And then I'll have somebody come up after the service and say, that changed my life. I'm thinking, who were you listening to while I was preaching? You can't go by that, can you? I've seen people, you know, and sometimes faces will fool you. I've seen people and I thought, man, well, you know, I'm sure this service would go up a step if they'd leave. You know, they just look that like they're getting, you know, beat up and tortured and, you know, like they're on some kind of torture rack being tortured or something. And then at the end of the service, say, man, that changed my life. Man, I really enjoyed that. I'm thinking, wow, oh, man, next time you enjoy it, tell your face. It'll help you, it'll help me. Why help me more than it helps you? You know what I'm saying? So you just can't walk by those things all the time. Now, you know, there's been times that, you know, the face and the attitude, they lined up. But, you know, you just keep preaching. I've had people get up and walk out on me. You know what I did? Keep preaching. Now, I'm not talking because they had to go to the bathroom or they had to go to work. I'm talking because they got mad. What you do? You just keep preaching.
Amen.
Now, so we understand this, that we can't just live in our lives based on how we feel or whether we think or what we thought about it. It has to be based on what God said about it.
Amen.
Now, here in John, Jesus said, I'm just kind of going through scriptures that say basically the same thing I've been saying, but I want you to see them. John chapter 15, if you would, please. John 15, this is Jesus talking here. In verse 7, he said, if you abide in me, and notice my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Now, you know, if his words abiding in you, how many know the Bible said, if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. Now he said, whatever you will, you'll get it. Well, see, if his words abiding in you, his will and your will line up. You won't want things, you won't ask things that's outside of his will. Amen? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So we see there the key to fruit's the Word of God. Amen?
Right.
The key to fruit's the Word of God. Having it abide in you so that you ask according to His will. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you know, He says the Word has to abide in you. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about this, because kind of bring a little light to this. Did you know that the real you is the man on the inside? That's the real you. Remember, Paul said, "I'm in a strait." That's the old King James language. I'm in a strait between two. In other words, I'm hard pressed to choose between the two, to stay here, or to be with Christ. Remember talking about that in Philippians. So he's talking about whether to stay here or to be with Christ. I am. Well, what was he talking about? Well, his body's not going to go be with Jesus. It's going to stay in the earth. But the real him, the man on the inside, that's going to go be with Jesus.
Amen.
You know, your body is a part of you, but it's the house you live in.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's going to get remodeled.
Hallelujah.
Glorified.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wait till you see me in heaven. Glory to God. I'll have real hair. Well, what I got right now is real. I've thought about getting some fake, but y'all said don't do it. So, okay. But, you know, the thing of it is, when he talks about the Word abiding, he's talking about abiding on in your inner man, not just in your head. See, this is why a lot of times if we're just praying, remember Jesus said this. He said the spirit quickens, it gives life. The flesh profits nothing. That's John 6:63. He said, the words that I speak to you, their spirit and their life. See, did you know you can try to believe God out of the flesh, just out of your head knowledge? You got to get it in your heart. That's why sometimes, even though you know what the Bible says, you need to go back and put it in your heart again and stir it up. Are you following what I'm saying? See, a lot of times we pray head prayers and not heart prayers. How many of the Bible says that when we believe with our heart, we're saved? See, before I was saved, I believed in Jesus with my head. If you'd ask me, do you believe Jesus was a real person? Yeah. You believe he's God? Yes. You believe he's the Son of God? Yes. You believe he died for the sins of the world? Yes. Now see, Paul said, do you believe that God raised him from the dead? You know what I would have said? Yes. Well, didn't Paul say, if thou shalt believe in your... Oh, wait a minute, not your head. See, it's mighty close, isn't it? See, I was believing that Jesus was Lord. I was believing that he was raised from the dead. Am I saved? No, because it's up here. But when it got down here, see, Paul said, if you believe with your heart, you shall be saved. So it changes, man. When it gets down here, there's power down here. There's not much up here. This is fickle up here. Amen? You know, this here, you got to watch this. You got to keep this thing renewed.
Amen.
You got to keep it full of the Word of God. It's real fickle. Oh, yeah. Amen. So you got to watch that. Now, so when he's talking about if my words abide in you, he's talking about being alive inside of you, fresh in your heart. Amen. Not just eating, you know, old hay. Does that make sense to you? How many ever had leftovers? You say, yeah, all the time. But how many, if they get two leftover, that's a problem? You know, I got a habit. Now, I'm the only one in my house that drinks milk, so this is all right, okay? Phyllis doesn't drink it, okay? I'm the only one that drinks it. So if you come over and drink my milk, I'll just tell you what's been happening every time I drink it. You might want to bring your own milk. Okay? Every time I get ready to drink milk, I always smell of it first. I want to make sure it's still fresh.
That's right.
Amen. Because, you know, I buy milk, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't last very long. Now, I bought a gallon of milk at Sam's, and I bought that gallon. I went in there, you know, you walk in that big cooler, you know, thing in there, and like to freeze, you know. I got my milk and took. A month later, I'm still drinking it. It's still good. I smell it. It's still good. I drank it. Yeah, it was over a month. It's still going. I don't know what they put in it, but whatever it was, it's still working. Now, I bought it before, you know, and about a week, you know, or less, it's like, oh, I don't smell good. I had some the other day. I'm like, man, that's on the border. I'm not even, it's right on the edge, and I don't even do it on the edge. You know what I'm saying? So, see, the Word can be like that. You know, not that the Word spoils, but what I'm saying is it has to be fresh, man. You want it, you got to have it fresh and alive inside of you. You can't just like, you know, well, I heard that years ago. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by having heard. That's an ongoing thing. Hearing. It's got to be alive to you. And so when Jesus is saying, my words abide in you, he's not just talking about you have head knowledge of something. You learned something in a classroom 20 years ago. He's talking about that something's alive working in your heart right now, and you believe it right now. Amen. And there's something burning inside of you. Amen. You know, I know that divine healing's mine, but, you know, I have to keep that stirred up on the inside of me. I have to know. I know certain things are mine. I've already learned them. I don't have to relearn them, but I have to stir them up so they're fresh and they're alive and they're with power. See, the Word of God's a living thing. It's got power, but you have to keep it stirred up inside. If you don't, sometimes, it, you know, it's kind of like this. I like to think about it like this. Paul said, stir up the gift of God that's inside of you. You know, you drink chocolate milk. You know, in the old days, you know, when we drank chocolate milk, we got, as kids, we get chocolate milk, and we had Hershey's powder. And they may still sell that. And so we would put that in our milk, and we'd stir it up. But after that milk set for a while, that stuff settles to the bottom. You got to stir it back up. See what happens when Paul's talking about stirring up the gift of God. See, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. But let me just tell you something. You know, if you don't keep the Holy Spirit stirred up inside of you, he's not intermingled in everything in your life now. You have to stir that back. Or if you like, how many like iced tea? How many like sugar in your tea? Come on, Southern folk. You like, you're Southern Indiana, right? About as Southern Indiana as you can get. We like sweet tea, right? I mean, I do. I mean, I don't drink it all that much, but, you know, I like it. You know, I mean, I'll drink tea without sugar, but I prefer the sugar. Let's just be honest about it. Sugar makes a lot of things better. Amen. I mean, I figure if I'm going to eat candy, I'm not eating sugar-free candy. We just ain't going to eat it. I mean, it's going to be the real deal. And so, you know, how many know that sometimes that sugar goes to the bottom? What do you mean? That means it's still in there. It's just not going to be intermingled in every drink you take. You've got to stir it up and get it intermingled. See, that's the way the Word is. That's the way the Spirit of God is in our life. It's still in there. We still know what we know, but it has to be stirred up in our life. We got to stir that up so it's intermingled in all of our life, where it just comes out of us. Hallelujah! It just leaks out of us in a good way. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to, like, go find, where was that verse at? Oh, I'm going to call Pastor. I think he knows where that verse is at. You know, there in 2 Hezekiah. I think he'll probably know where that's. There is no second Hezekiah because there's no first Hezekiah. Now, let's go one last scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll close here. So our prayer has to be word-based. Base it on the Word. Don't base it on your feelings or what you think about it. Or people will do this, and I'm not accusing you of this, but people will. People will do this. They have their thoughts of how they think God is. Well, if I was God, this is what... Well, thank God you're not God. Let's just start with that. How about that? Thank God I'm not God. There'd be some people who wouldn't be on the planet today. Not any of you, but you know what I'm saying. Over the years, I'd probably had taken some people out if I'd had that kind of power. Amen. Man, I can think of some right now I'd take out if I had that kind of power. Some of them are in Washington, D.C. Let's be sweet, everybody. Quit being so mean now. Now, we don't base it on what we think God's like. We base it on what He said He's like. Amen. Amen. You know, it's like the article I was talking about, this man that you know, said, well, you know, if you go through some life, you won't believe in that faith stuff like people do today, because you'll just learn, you know, that God doesn't always answer your prayers, you know, and you know, and if you have doubt, you know, He still will answer them. Well, I didn't want to. Well, I'm just thinking when I'm thinking, wait a minute here. You don't even have one scripture to back what you're saying. You didn't even use any scripture. You just told me what you thought. And you just deduced that. That's called philosophizing, by the way. And Paul said, don't be deceived by philosophy in Colossians chapter 2 or 3. Don't be deceived by philosophy. That's just philosophizing, you know, that, you know, well, this is what I deduce. Well, it doesn't matter what we deduce. It matters what God said. He said, and doubt's not in his heart. Right? He's talking about wavering. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. See, I've got scripture for what I'm saying. That guy didn't have any scripture for what he's preaching. This is what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't mean to get on the guy. The guy just needs some revelation. But you shouldn't publish stuff when you don't know what you're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I had a dead spot on that. But you shouldn't if you don't know what. Let's don't publish a book on, you know, on how to, you know, work on a car if you don't know how to work on one. Well, don't you want some expertise about something? I mean, if you're laying on the operating table, you know, and you know how they kind of knock you out before they knock you out, and they've kind of knocked you out before they knocked you out, but you're not out, you know, and you hear the surgeon say, well, I haven't ever done this before, but, you know, I looked this up on the internet last night, you know, and I think I could do it. I mean, I don't care what's showing in the back. I'm booking. Amen. I want somebody that's got some confidence. Amen. Amen. Now, and actually has done it?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I mean, just think if you got on a commercial airplane and you're flying, you know, across the ocean and you hear and find out the pilot said, well, I've never flown one of these before, but, you know, I've flown a Cessna 172, and then, well, the plane's a plane, isn't it? Well, yeah, but there's a little bit of difference between a Cessna 172 is a little small plane that's got, you know, four seats in it. Yeah, one engine. It's a little bit different taking off with it and landing with it. I'm jumping out. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know. I just think that people ought to have expertise in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's look at this and let's close right here. 1 Corinthians 2:16. The Bible says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ."
Amen.
Isn't that powerful? You say, well, Pastor, if I have the mind of Christ, it hadn't caught up with me yet. I don't know that. Well, let me tell you what he's talking about without reading it all. But if you were to read, read verse 13 of the same chapter, he said, "Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So he said, we're not talking about things that man's, you know, that the words which words of man's wisdom. We're giving you things which the Holy Spirit teaches. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God, see. See, when we know the Word of God, we have the mind of Christ. We have Christ's mind on the situation. Isn't that good? I said, isn't that good? I mean, I think it's good. See, we have, how many know, by the word of God, we pray the mind of Christ. How many know it's better to pray his mind than our mind?
Amen.
It's better just to find out what he thinks about it than what we think about it. Amen. How many know what he has to say is probably far more important than what we have to say?
Come on.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
You know, I don't know if I should, well, I will tell the story, but I'll kind of veil it a little bit. But, you know, I remember Phyllis and I years ago. We were with someone, and they were having some real difficult problems in the hospital. They had actually gone in for surgery, and when they went in for, and, I mean, not expecting anything to go wrong, they'd gone in for surgery, and I wasn't their pastor, but I'll just say I knew them, okay, and I was there, and so they went into surgery, and during surgery, the nurse came running out of the surgery room crying. This is a bad sign. It's a bad sign. I mean, and she said, I don't know if they're going to make it or not. Well, you know, that's devastating news to a family. How many know that? And so this person's pastor was there, you know, and nothing against them. They were a good person, but they didn't believe in divine healing. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe any of that, you know. And so, you know, the first thing their pastor says is, well, let's just all pray. And I am so glad he did what he did. Now, hear me now. I don't want this to sound like bragging, because that's not what this is. But he looked at me, and I know it was the Holy Ghost. I know it was God. He looked at me. He said, you do the praying. I thought, yeah, I'll do the praying, because I'm not going to pray if it be God's will that they live. I'm not going to pray that. I know what the will of God is.
Amen.
This person's too young to die. And so I prayed what the word said. And so we just stayed there at the hospital, and this person, it was touch and go for a while, but they lived. And they lived several more years. I mean, I don't know, maybe 15 more years, maybe. I don't know. But see, my point in all that was to say this. See, this pastor was a good man. He loved Jesus. He's going to heaven. But in that area, he did not know the mind of Christ. Now, there's areas I probably don't know the mind of Christ. I might need his help in some areas. You see, so I'm not, you know, having a slander against the guy. He may know things the mind of Christ in areas I don't know about. I may need to pick his brain on it. But in that area, when it come to healing, I knew what the mind of Christ was for this person. I knew that. The mind of Christ is that they live and not die. I knew that. So I prayed the mind of Christ. Now, Phyllis and I just stayed there at the hospital. We haven't spent the night because we tried to leave, and when we tried to leave, they'd get worse, and we'd go, oh, we're going back, you know, because it had to be somebody with some faith and knew the mind of Christ to stand in the gap. So you have to know what God thinks about the thing to stand in the gap, or you're not going to get the results. That's just part of the spirit realm in prayer, everybody. You have to know that. You don't know that. See, that's why a lot of times people give up on prayer, because it doesn't work. I tried it. Well, it's just that you don't know what you're doing. Amen? You know, maybe first time you drove a car, you didn't know how to drive it, but you kept going. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.